Welcome back, Market Watcher. I'm David Revelle, and this is Value Side at the Close. Investors, discover the oil meme. Well, after markets closed last night, the American Petroleum Institute released its latest reading on crude oil storage. And as you and I discussed, storage was down big because of the effects of Hurricane Ida. To be precise, crude storage was down over 5 million barrels, the largest decline in the past 10 months, and a clear support to the ever-climbing price of oil, making further increases in oil price likely. Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Nicholas, is now pounding many of those same oil refineries down in Louisiana and Mississippi. Now, this is a long way around saying that it's been the energy group that has powered this late afternoon rally we're seeing in the markets. And as a group, energy is up 3% today, with the really big gains in the exploration and production sector. Within this group, there are four stocks which are up more than 7% on the day: Marathon Oil, Cabot Oil and Gas, Diamondback Energy, and EOG Resources. Not a bad day in anyone's book. But this is nothing new. Energy has been the leading sector of the market for a month now, as Wall Street has recognized that if we're going to have a period of inflation, there's no better place to be than natural resources. And there's nothing better to own than an oil well, which produces oil at a higher and higher price. So overall, equities were up across the board. Gains in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the Standard & Poor's 500, NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000. Everything higher on the back of oil, where the entire complex is currently green. Leading the way, our own West Texas Intermediate Oil, up over 3% on the day. Crypto's up also today. About the only place you could find some red was in the metals group. Gold and silver, bonds were also down, and the dollar was down against most major currencies. And that's our wrap-up for Tuesday, September 15. Stay tuned for today's market comment, the Fed versus the President.
Well, the U.S. economy is like one of those massive cargo ships at sea. It takes time for any change in direction to have effect. For the container ships, for instance, when traveling at full speed, it's often miles before a change at the helm translates into a different heading. And it's the same for our economy. It often takes months or even years before a change in economic policy translates into a different direction for the economy. And recently, we've had just such a change in the nation's economic policy. And the result is that we now have a Federal Reserve, the nation's central banker, and a Biden administration headed in very different directions. Now, if the truth be told, it is the president and his administration who have struck off in the new direction, not the Federal Reserve, which has basically held the same course going all the way back to the great financial crisis of 2008. Since then, it's been the Fed's policy to be as accommodative as possible in monetary policy, to promote liquidity, and thereby hope to expand the economy. The Fed has done this by lowering interest rates to essentially zero, and by literally pumping money into the financial system through a series of bond purchases and other tactics. So that's been the nation's monetary policy, pro-growth, maximum stimulus. However, looking at the nation's fiscal policy, the actions of the federal government, we're seeing a real divergence. During the Trump administration, the federal government and the Federal Reserve were in total phase. The Trump presidency was one of lower taxes, that's pro-growth, reduced regulation, that's also pro-growth, and an overall positive business climate. All that changed dramatically on January 20th of this year. That's the day President Biden was sworn in, and we've never seen a president by fiat and executive order make so many changes to the way our country operates. And many of those policies were directly aimed at changing our economy. Most recently, that change in economic policy has continued with the proposed new taxes aimed at raising rates for corporations and the so-called wealthy. Now, more regulation in all of its various forms and those higher tax rates are an essentially restrictive policy, and by its very nature, anti-growth. Now, that's not to say that raising taxes is always bad. For instance, we raised taxes during the 1950s to help pay off the debt created in World War II. And because it was such a strong economy, it all worked out very well. But that's the key question in all of this. Do we currently have a strong economy? The Federal Reserve certainly does not think so. That's why, in spite of everything, the Fed continues their accommodative policy of quantitative easing. The Fed's relaxed monetary policy is driven by the current weakness they see in the economy. The Fed is saying this is no time to stop support. In fact, from my perspective, it looks like this economy peaked in the second quarter of this year and is now headed much lower. In Q2 just passed, the U.S. GDP rocketed ahead by an astounding 11%. Next year, most economic projections call for the U.S. growth to fall to slightly above 2% and hold at just 2% growth for the foreseeable future. In other words, Wall Street projects a tepid economy just a step away from recession for the rest of the time that the Biden administration is in office. Hardly the environment where one would raise taxes and regulations, but that's exactly where the president wants to take us. Once again, we see a president headed in a different direction, one that is fundamentally opposed to current Fed policy and the advice of many on Wall Street. It really is this administration versus the Fed. And that's Value Sign for Wednesday, September 15. I'm David Revelle. Please join me in praying for those left behind in Afghanistan.